From the PSIA ASI studios in Lakewood, Colorado, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to First Chair. Great guest today, Eric Lipton is joining us from Pennsylvania. Eric, great to be able to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, George. I'm excited to chat with you.
Now, Eric, got a lot to talk about with you today. First of all, how did you get interested in skiing and specifically coaching and instructing?
Okay, so, well, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. My father has been a ski instructor for almost 50 years. He learned to ski in Franconia when he was going to school in Franconia College in New Hampshire, and got a job teaching skiing at Cannon Mountain in Mittersill, and learned to ski. Actually, Paul Villar, one of the founders of PSIA, taught my dad how to ski. He could play the guitar, and so my dad answered an advertisement, a classified ad in the newspaper, for a guitar instructor for Paul Villar's 12-year-old daughter, Steffi Villar. And my dad answered the ad, and he said to Paul, "Well, I understand you run the ski school up there at the mountain," and he said, "I'll teach your daughter how to play the guitar if you'll teach me how to ski." And the two became close friends, and my dad got into ski teaching and stayed close with Paul and Paula for a number of years. So we became a skiing family, you know, before he became a skier in the late 60s. And then we were a skiing family from there on out. And so in high school, I started teaching skiing at the local mountain and, you know, before you know it, and, you know, I'm interested in PSIA and getting my certifications, and after college, I got my level 3 in college, and then moved out to Beaver Creek to start ski teaching right after college, and the rest is history.
Okay, I like the Cliff Notes version. I want to come back and get the novel, so we've got to do this again.
All right.
So at what point did you feel, okay, I've got my 3, I love teaching. When did you want to move up from there?
Well, initially it was, my intention was to come back to Pennsylvania and get into the family business, which I ended up doing. But I was expecting that I would really leave full-time ski teaching behind and dig into the family business, which is a furniture business full-time. And so, I did that lasted for a couple of years. And then, for my PSI 2-year update, my certification update, I took the development team exam and went to the Eastern team tryouts, and I was selected to those teams. And then a week prior, I was really only doing a 2-year update, and you know, the next week I was selected to the Eastern team, and so I really was back into the ski business full time in that regard. So and then it just kind of spiraled, you know. National team trials came in 08, and it's been the best 9 years of my life ever since.
So you don't have a ski racing background?
I ski raced in college, but not growing up, just in college.
So
at Penn State.
Oh, at Penn State, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us what it was like for you recently when PSIA and USSA came together and you went out with the U.S. ski team.
It was a terrific experience. I think it was beneficial for both the ski team as well as for us. We got a lot out of it. It's certainly an intimidating group to work with, because these athletes, you know, grew up on skis, live on skis, and have such a personal relationship with their skiing, can feel their skis on the snow in a way that most of the folks I get to ski with just don't. The ski team athletes are very ski centric, and so they feel exactly what the skis do on the snow. So it was a terrific experience exploring the parameters, the realm of what's possible on a pair of skis. And one of the aspects that we really wanted to dig into was helping them connect how body movements affect ski performance, And we wanted to of course, improve their, you know, develop their skills a little further, strengthen the communication channels between the athletes and the coaches, where the coaches would say one thing, move this body part or get this kid to do this, and the athletes would have to translate that into what they feel. So it was a terrific, terrific collaboration. And we spent the whole, you know, for all of these sessions, we spent the whole time on GS skis, on 30 or 35 meter GS skis. And we skied those in all terrain, all conditions. And that's something that we don't do probably often enough. You know, we, in this day and age, we specialize, we have powder skis and we have race skis and kind of never the twain shall meet oftentimes, but taking a race ski into the moguls and into the off-piste was good for skill development for all of us. That was really forced us to be on our game.
That seems like it could be very intimidating to be heading out there to coach this group of athletes.
It was at the start. You know, it did take some getting used to. It took us to get used to them, and it took certainly some time for them to get used to us. We don't, as a PSIA team, we don't live in the race world 100% of the time. But we know our stuff. We have strong belief system. We have a clear belief system, and it was more a matter of sharing. You know what. How the way we think about good skiing and hearing the way that the athletes and the coaches think about good skiing, and collaborating. It certainly was not us, you know, delivering information to them, but more helping them understand their own skiing better. So when we approached it from that point of view and that angle, it became more, you know, more collaborative and less, you know, dictatorial.
So let's change direction a little bit. You're working with the best of the best. Let's talk about some of the issues that are facing PSAA right now and us as instructors. I want to talk about really first-time skiers and beginners. What's the difference between working with someone at a World Cup level and someone who's just starting out from an instructor point of view?
Great question. So we're at a crossroads in the ski industry where we're seeing, and let me just start by saying we've got a challenge ahead of us that is not just for PSIA and instructors, but is really for the industry as a whole. And resort operators need to be focused on this as much as everybody, as much as anybody. And that's the fact that we've got a conversion rate, which we define conversion as essentially, and I'll speak in some generalities here, but taking first-time participants, skiers and snowboarders, and turning them into lifetime participants, okay? Getting people hooked on the sport, really come back again and again and again and become a skier and snowboarder. Currently, our conversion rate as an industry is hovering between 17 and 18%. It's closer to 18% now. So what that means is for every 100 skiers or snowboarders that come for the first time, only 18 of them will go on to become lifelong participants. And so to give that some meaning for some folks, if you owned a restaurant and only 18% of your guests came back again and again and again, you'd be out of business pretty quick. If you drove 82 out of 100 away, we'd have a problem. And that's currently the NSA statistic for conversion in the U.S. We're losing skiers. Baby boomers and older generations are exiting the sport. We're not replenishing those skiers quickly enough. Over the last 35 years, number of skier visits has hovered right, you know, between 54 and 58 million visits. So aside from, you know, from all the efforts that we've put into trying to drive more skiers to the mountain more often, it hasn't really moved the needle. So we've got some work to do as an industry. And I think we've got to really change the way we look at the whole beginner experience. And for resort operators, it's a matter of changing the way we look at the whole ski and snowboard experience and what, you know, make the experience a little more seamless, a little more a little more easy for people to partake in these activities and these sports, because it's a lot of work to take your family skiing or snowboarding for the day. And we've got to realize that we're not just competing with other winter sport activities. We're competing with all the other ways that families can spend their time and spend their discretionary income. So it's important that we maybe change the way we've been doing things, to change the way we've been looking at first timers. And it's a different, I think it's a different blend of of teaching and of entertainment and of inputs into the whole experience. So it's certainly very different from coaching an advanced or an expert skier to be a better skier. The beginner experience is as much about, fun as it should be about learning.
I love what you just said. It's been hounded on me. This is my 30th year of teaching that, you're the face of the resort. You've got to give the guest a great experience when they come in. And as instructors, I mean, that's imperative of what we do.
It's absolutely imperative. We will spend more time with the guest than any other resort employee. If you look at the process that people go through when they arrive at the resort, all the interactions they have, whether it's with, in some cases as simple as the shuttle driver when they park the car to when they get on the shuttle and make their way to the base area. But the lift ticket and rental, the cafeteria, these interactions happen so fast. They're seconds or they're minutes, and we will spend hours with the guests. So we can, as instructors, can single-handedly make or break their entire day. And we've got to take that responsibility seriously. And I know that we do. I feel like every instructor is out there and everybody wants to do a good job and wants to provide a good experience. We just have to, it comes back to how we train instructors. And I don't mean give them more data, give them more information on how to help people learn. I think it's as important as to help create relationships and help people, understand how to connect with others in a better, more meaningful way. We're taking people on an adventure in the mountains. And we've got to keep that in our mind and not get too bogged down in the nitty gritty, in the tech, in our desire to make them learn or to will them to learn, but to share our sports. I think it's as much fun to share skiing and snowboarding as it is to teach it. And that means highlight the environment that we live in and the mountains around us and the beauty of what it means to be in the mountains and to cater to them in different ways and not just moving through a logical progression of exercises to move them to the next terrain challenge.
And you've taken that to a whole new level because you actually have your own school or camp. Can you tell us a little bit about Eric Lipton's ski camp?
Yeah, sure can. So it's not a beginner product in this case. It's an advanced and expert camp, and we're taking trips to South America and trying to take people out of their comfort zone into the beauty of the Chilean Andes and amp up their skiing. We take a very holistic approach to skier development, considering motivations, desires, and short and long-term goals, and teach people how to read terrain and choose the right tactic. And it really is an adventure in the mountains. Part of, I'd say it's part high-performance ski camp, part adventure travel, but it's all serious, life-changing fun. So we're really excited to get these, to launch these camps. We've got two this summer. Our Portillo camp is full. It's August 19th to 26th. And then we've got a camp August 11th to 18th in Valle Nevado, Chile. And there's still room in that camp. And it's just a spectacular. The Chilean Andes are absolutely so beautiful. And along with the whole experience becomes pretty special. Everything from dragging your skis through an airport in the middle of August to getting off the plane in Santiago and, you know, having gone from an August North American summer temps to wintertime temperatures. It's a good shakeup to the system, and it's a great bucket list item that nobody should go without.
Eric, you've got quite the year teaching, working throughout the ski season, family business, and now doing this. What prompted you to start your own business here?
Well, I've always been pretty entrepreneurial, and in this case, this is something I've been wanting to do for a while, but haven't really had the time to commit to it in the summertime. I'm a fairly prolific traveling ski instructor in the wintertime. I spend the winter essentially from December 1st through April, traveling around the U.S. and training ski instructors and training, spending some time with the U.S. ski team and training coaches and racers. And so in the summertime, historically, I've been coming back to Pennsylvania and spending time in my family business. But we're currently wrapping things up in our business, and it's going to afford me a little more time in the summer to ski a bit. And I'm excited for that, really excited for that. But we got to keep going. We can't, I don't want to have too much downtime. There's a lot of work to be done in the world, certainly in the ski business.
Now, Portillo Camp is full. Chilean Camp still has some spaces available. Where can people go for more information?
Yeah, the Vinavau Camp still has space available, and we're considering another Portillo Camp. So if people are interested in Portillo over Valle Nevado, we can certainly we may be able to arrange that. So they can go to ericliptonskitraining.com, and all the information is there, as well as the cost. And we're offering a 10% discount if you reserve your spot before June 15th. So it's already priced very competitively. And we're offering another additional 10% discount if reserved before before June 15th. So the camp is August 11th to 18th. Don't miss an opportunity to fast track your skiing this August in the Chilean Andes, because the environment is so spectacular, and the whole experience will be one to remember.
Now, what are the snow conditions like there? I've got a lot of experience skiing on Hood through the summers up in Oregon. Never been down south.
So it's not much like Hood as far as snow conditions. It's winter time down there, right? So seasons are opposite. So they can get, it can be sunny and 40 some degrees or 50 degrees, and then they can get a meter of snow. So it's certainly winter conditions and an unpredictable winter climate, which is fantastic. Chile is on the western coast of South America, so it can be coastal. You got to figure it's winter conditions, it's winter. Unlike at Hood, where we can ski till noon and come down and it's 60, 70, 80 degrees to go skiing or go swimming, it would not be the case.
Yeah, I was going to say, you come off the mountain and go on a raft trip.
So. Yeah, exactly. Head down to Hood River.
And what would be a typical day at Eric Lipton Ski Training?
Sure. So we'll ski in the morning, of course, and have lunch around noon, ski in the afternoon. And then, the mountains are pretty unique. Valle Nevado, for instance, offers three mountains all linked together. So the terrain is very vast. So it could be a very exploring day with a variety of different lunch spots. But we'll ski for the day. Inside in the evening, there'd be tech talks and some evening activities, dining at one of the mountain restaurants, plenty to do in the evening at Portillo or Valle Nevado. There's a couple of shops, a couple of restaurants at Portillo. There's a cinema. So we've got a lot of opportunities to either talk tech or watch ski films or just enjoy the majesty that is the Chilean Andes. So The ski time, the on-snow time, is really customizable. We're going to explore a variety of different terrain and snow conditions and pitches. And it's really, you know, it's everything that you would expect from a high alpine mountains. So I'm sure the skiing itself will hold its own. My approach is to, you know, as I said earlier, is very holistic. It's what do people want to get out of their skis? How do they like to ski? And we'll look at the fundamentals of alpine skiing, people's athleticism and strength and equipment setup, and just help them enjoy the mountain more.
And will people be skiing with you? What size group, or are there other coaches?
This year they will be skiing with me. So I'll have no more than 7 in a group. And I'll be taking all the groups. So I'm really excited to get to know everybody.
That sounds fantastic. Last question about this. Why did you settle on Chile as your location as opposed to, say, New Zealand or Australia?
Well, for starters, it's a lot easier flight to get to Chile from North America. One overnight flight is pretty simple, and Chile is on essentially is on central time zone in the U.S., so there's not much jet lag. And I know the Chilean Andes fairly well, so for my familiarity and my knowledge of the mountain, and I can be a good guide there. And I think it's got everything that it's got everything there is to offer.
And Eric, could you give us the website address one more time where people could go for more information?
Sure. It's www.ericliptonskitraining.com.
Eric, thanks very much for joining us on First Chair. Really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, George. Nice to talk with you.
From the PSIA AASI studios in Lakewood, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.